So this week, like, we're talking about Lex, right? Holy yeah. shit! Look at Bri! Forget it! Yeah. Forget what we were talking about! Guy's got a goddamn triangle glass! What do you got in there?
Yeah, I do.
Triangle glass. Yeah, it's a martini
glass.
Just a little
gin and sparkling water.
Anything that's in a triangle glass becomes a martini.
It's a martini.
Yep.
I just class it up for the subject of honor today. I'm also wearing a Superman shirt, which would make him angry. So you know, I'm. It's a mixed bag.
Yeah, take that shirt off. Take that shirt off and drink that martini.
Just shirtless.
Brian's shirtless and drinking a martini.
That should be our new theme.
Yeah, mm-hmm. That's, you know what? We should use that between every segment for this episode. Who's editing this one again? Brian's shirtless, editing the podcast, drunk on martinis, gonna go throw up again. Had too many shrimpies.
Oh, no.
Doesn't eat no shrimpies. He's a vegetarian. Shrimpies. He only eats martinis.
Solidified martinis. Just
solidified martini.
Yeah, just solid martini.
It's like Jello.
Yeah,
Jello martinis.
Yeah, a Jello martini.
Oh, can I get a slice of vermouth?
This may appear to be only monkey business, but in reality, it's very serious, ladies.
Zero Issues Comic Podcast. Zero Issues Comic Podcast.
Excelsior!
All right, so welcome to the show. I'm Merc.
I'm Kyle.
I'm Bri.
And today we're doing, this is a segment that we've done before.
Yeah.
Where we take a character and we so-called fix them. This might work out the same way as we've done it before. It might be a little different. Who knows? We are talking, as Kyle mentioned at the start, Lex. Yeah. We are talking about Lex Luthor.
Mm-hmm. He's so hot right now. So hot right now.
He is. Yeah, yeah. There is a reason we are talking.
Potentially dying.
We'll get to it. But yeah, before we get to Lex, I have a warm-up. So let's go.
Oh, my.
I want to Lex you up.
I want that to be the title and the picture that I just saw of Bri holding his martini and smiling.
Again, I want to Lex you up.
I want to Lex you up. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
I'll draw that. I don't have any time, but I'll draw that.
You're the only one who will.
It's true. I would refuse.
Welcome to the warm-up.
All right, so today what I'm talking about is this, the thing that I'm holding up as a visual on a podcast.
Power Man and Iron Fist.
This is the Epic Collection. Power Man and Iron Fist Hardball is the title of the collection. It's volume 4 of their collection and the final one in that collection. So this is...
Weirdly, it's about when they start a softball league.
It is. Yeah. Actually, it starts out, the last issue starts them playing football. Anyways, that's a whole different...
Hitters for Hire, they could call themselves. That'd be a pretty good name. They could do it.
That's not bad.
So,
And Mr. Burns could hire them.
If I want you to bunt, I will touch my belt buckle not once, not twice, but thrice.
Sweet Christmas.
This is issues 108 to 125.
Yeah.
This is from 1984 to 1986. And the reason I'm bringing this up is because, like, I was young at this point. I would have been, like, 12 when this ended.
Right.
And I bought that final issue, which is the cover of this Epic Collection.
Okay.
It just grabbed me. It's like, right?
Well, and it's like I had the odd issue, but not enough to know the story of, like, and this is earlier comics, so that it's not a Hickman comic where you have to read 500 issues.
Right.
And know
there's no
what
text
the hell's
pages.
Going on.
There's no clones.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So
you better be reading all of those like dense text sheets. Don't just jump to the pictures. Yeah. You got to read the whole thing.
Yeah. Yeah. So it was, I think the last issue was like a giant size issue, a double issue or something of the sort. There was a lot to it. Mm-hmm. And I remember reading it and enjoying it on a certain level. A lot happens in this issue. But a lot of it, I'm like, I don't understand. I don't know what that means. I don't know what that reference is, because obviously it was in previous issues. And
yeah,
right.
So I finally, I saw this in my local comic shop. I was like, I can get this and I can read and figure out what the hell was, I was missing and what I did, all the stuff I didn't understand.
Finally solved the mystery.
So I'm going to do a quick rundown on what this final issue all entails.
Cool.
And then I'll tell you what it actually explained and the stuff that didn't make any sense and was never explained whatsoever.
I may ever. Know so, something about this and I'm just going to wait for it.
Yeah, okay. So it starts off with Luke in jail. It's one of those, it starts at the end, and then they retrace the steps to get back to the that point.
Yep, that's me.
I bet you're wondering how I got here.
Yeah.
Danny, that son of a bitch. So he's under, like, interrogation or whatever, and so then they start to go backwards, and there's this armored guy that's kind of a bit of a Iron Man knockoff.
Yeah, he's a bit of
with a gun.
Iron Man. He's a reverse Iron Man.
Reverse Iron Man.
There's one of two of them in Marvel Comics, I hear. Mm.
So there's in this issue, Luke and him have it out, and he actually eventually kind of takes him down. And at that point, I'm like, I still don't know who the Iron Guy is. I don't know the history. I don't know it's the Tony connection. Stark. Whatever. Yeah, it is.
He's just really drunk.
It's Jimmy Stark.
Your suit looks terrible. It's like, I'm drunk.
It's Jimmy Stewart. Well, I
I'll get the moon for you.
Gotta have
the moon. There's this goofy CIA-like guy, some sort of one of those guys, helping Luke with the fight, but he's just in like a suit.
Yeah.
And he's using a flying 1986 mobile phone. So if you remember old mobile phones, it's huge. Yeah.
The gray brick, the Zach Morris special.
It has a particle beam energy field and a force field. He throws it and he hits the Iron Man guy. It flies back to his hand. Mm. And I'm like, who the hell is this guy?
Is it Gordy?
What is up with it? His name is Gord.
Yeah, that's right. Luke and Danny are very afraid of him. That's why they weren't on the cover of that one issue that he was on. Yeah. That was the one that I had as a kid.
Yeah.
Was it?
Yeah. We've talked about this. He looked like Billy Crystal.
Oh, is that the Billy Joel one?
He looks exactly like Billy Joel. Well, very close.
I don't know. Okay. Anyways.
Someone named Billy. An adult named Billy.
Earlier in the issue, Iron Fist also has it out with this armored guy. And there's obviously a history. They've obviously met before. So at one point, Danny's getting beat up, so he does the full Iron Fist thing. He runs at him, powers up his fist, and wham! And knocks him right off the building and ends the fight. But as he's doing that, he's running up. His suit goes from green to red. He hits him. It goes flying. And he's like, oh, wow. It like says something heroic, whatever. And then looks down at himself and goes, no! I had no idea. No clue. I'm like, why? Okay, that's not explained in this issue at all.
Well, red means stop. Hey, stop.
Yeah, I don't know. And then Luke walks up and he's like, oh, whoa, what happened here? And he's like, oh, that. And he sees the armored guy down on the ground. And then he's like, oh, why is Danny's suit red? And that's the end of that scene. I'm like, okay, like nothing, right. Nothing else. All right.
Just edit in, later he had on a big old hot dog he was running with, and he squeezed it too hard and got ketchup all over.
No! Dry cleaning!
And he lost his hot dog.
Oh.
Worst day for him.
Tragedy of them all.
Later on, Iron Fist goes to a hospital where he's helping this kid that, again, there's obviously some sort of a history of a story leading up to this. The kid's name is Bobby, and he's, like, unconscious in the bed, and Iron Fist is like holding his hand and he's like powering his chi around his hands and towards this Bobby. He's trying to heal him or something. And he's there for hours. Like they count it like he goes for 12 hours at the
Are
same
you
time.
That this boy ain't right.
Apparently he's a Bobby.
Oh, I was just waiting how long Bobby. It would go before somebody made a Bobby Hill joke. And I was just like, for one, just for once, have it not be you, Bri.
Come on, Danny. I can't do a Bobby Hill, clearly.
No, only she can.
Nothing. Continue, please, Merc.
I found these boys iron fisting in the woodshed.
Oh my god.
Oh no.
Hey, good looking.
Hey.
So, there's also several Avengers there that are apparently there like supporting Iron Fist of what's going on. And and then Hank Pym is there, and he's like, I think I know a way. So then they're like intercutting between Iron Fist doing the chi thing and Hank Pym in the laboratory, and he takes hours, like it takes like a day or something, and then he shows up and he's made mega bands. I think kind of like how Captain Marvel had.
Oh yeah.
And he puts them on the kid, and it seems to stabilize the kid. And so everybody's like, yay! And they're like, you helped him get to this point, Danny, you did a great job. And like Danny is completely exhausted and just like crashes hard in the chair next to this kid and just falls right asleep.
He's like,
so then they cut, and to a little bit later, everybody's kind of gone home. Danny's still asleep in the chair. This Bobby kid wakes up screaming in pain, and he's like, help me, Danny, help me, wake up. And Danny's out cold and won't wake up. All of a sudden, this kid, who looks like he's 10, suddenly turns into like a Superman kind of character, like morphs into an adult Superman, okay, who it says there is called Captain Hero. Mm. Nobody wakes up. He's screaming. He'd been hitting the nurse button. Even the nurse was asleep at the station. So he's like, he's blinded by pain. And he's like, Danny, goes to wake him up and proceeds.
Now he's like, Danny.
So he's trying to wake Iron Fist up, but he's trying to wake him up by punching him in the face.
Checks out.
Through the wall.
I mean, that's how the cats wake me up. Through the wall.
And that's how Iron Fist dies in the series. That's the death of Iron Fist, is by Captain Hero waking up and punching him through a wall.
Wow. I mean, Jug needs, when you're hungry, you know?
Yeah, you get hangry, yeah. Mm-hmm. Luke shows up just in time to see Captain Hero, like, dissolve in energy and disappear. And he's like, oh my god, what happened? And the whole place is trash. And then he sees Danny dead, and he just slumps down and is obviously like distraught. Cut back to Luke. He's back in the holding cell, and he's blamed for killing his friend.
Even though
like the Avengers were there and saw like this kid, everybody kind of seemed to know about this kid being Captain Hero, but I don't know. But they still blame him.
You're not going to send a kid to jail. Someone's got to do it. And Luke's already been to jail.
Yeah, I don't know. The kids, Captain Hero is dissolved. He's gone. So I don't know.
It's the NYPD. What do you expect?
So Luke won't take it anymore. He just busts through the wall. He's like, I don't have to stay here. And he busts through the
wall.
Wait
a second.
Well, because he's obviously getting railroaded. There's like a captain in charge, and he's like, you're the one that did it. And there's a couple of other people. One of them, there's a cop. His name is Detective Sergeant Tyrone King, and he appeared a little bit throughout the issue. Mm-hmm. He's this big black dude with a long blue trench coat. And after Luke takes off, this Tyrone King slams down his badge, and he's like, I quit. You just railroaded him. We all know that he didn't do it, blah, blah, blah. And he leaves. The guy with the 1986 mobile phone also gives the captain the gears, saying that, like, you railroaded him. He's got
gears,
blah, blah, blah.
Too?
Yeah, the gears.
He's got, like, a steampunk old phone, you know? Cut yourself so, holding that thing.
So cut to the funeral. There's a bunch of heroes, and Colleen Wing, who is Misty Knight's partner, starts yelling at a blonde woman named Maxine Walter, who you see at the start of the issue. She is the chair of the board for some big corporation, and apparently her and Danny had been dating. And Colleen is yelling at this woman for being there, saying Danny would have still been alive if it wasn't for you. No explanation. That's the first we
and
hear
his suit would have been green. When are we going to get back to the suit? I'm so confused.
I know. And this woman walks away, is like, I loved him too, gets into a car, and the car explodes, and she's dead.
What the hell?
Just like Vince McMahon.
And also, earlier in that issue, that armored guy put an explosive under the car. And you're not sure who it is, but now you're like, oh, that's that.
Okay.
That's this woman's car.
Again, and a drunk also, Tony, but let's not go there.
So drunk Tony also put a bomb on the side of some detective's bike which it turns out it's that Tyrone King.
Wait, when you say bike, do you mean motorcycle?
Motorbike, okay. Yes.
This is giant on a bicycle, and he's like, I don't notice this at all.
This bike is a pipe bomb.
Here's, after even all that weird stuff, here's where it gets even weirder.
Oh my God. So Tyrone
King comes walking out of his apartment, walks down to his motorcycle. He's holding a shotgun. He's putting a shotgun in the back of his, like, little slipcase in the back of the motorcycle. He gets on it. Boom! The whole thing explodes. He's standing there on fire, and he just does this. He pats himself off. He pats it down very calmly. Mm-hmm. Obviously, he's not feeling anything from this. Mm-hmm. He's fine. His clothes are not charred. Everything looks absolutely normal. He turns around, walks back into his apartment, and says, damn, I loved that bike.
All right.
No clue.
No explanation whatsoever. In the last issue.
So, to give you a little more information on him.
Yeah.
He is a character called Master Khan, who's been around since 1960. And was created by Stan Lee and Steve Ditko. He's actually that guy.
Really?
Mm. Okay, then.
But was that ever mentioned in the series? Nope.
No, we'll get back to that in a second. Because right here is the end, where it ends with Misty Knight driving up and finding Luke. Luke is like on the edge of some rocky precipice looking out over a sunset. She walks up. They have a few words like, oh my God, we lost him. I've been looking for you. They hug, Luke cries, Christmas, and that's the end of the series.
Merry Christmas.
Yeah.
To us all.
So I finally get this epic collection, and I'm like, okay, let's solve some mysteries, and it does. It like that armored guy, there's a big history, that's the brother of another guy that had the same armor, that was in a fight with them and got killed, that wasn't Luke and Danny's fault.
Drunk Arno Stark,
guy. This guy was just had wanted vengeance and just has been after them ever since. Mm-hmm. That kid was another kid that, like, suddenly this Captain Hero appears on the scene. They discover it's a kid, and then they try to help him by bringing him to, like, whatever labs, and they couldn't do anything, and then eventually he dies. That's the point, he dies. Yeah, but that Tyrone King, there's nothing. Tyrone King is dating Misty Knight for a little bit before that. And then that's it.
All right.
But if he's Master Khan?
He's Master Khan, who's like an old-ass Iron Fist bad guy.
The name sounds familiar, but...
And he's the one who engineered... I'm glancing at Wikipedia over here. He's the one that engineered the death of Iron Fist in this thing, because I don't want to spoil, you know, comics that are nearly 40 years old. But I will.
He comes back. Yeah.
Yeah, he comes back. It wasn't actually Iron Fist that died. He was replaced with a duplicator.
It's like, you sir. You sir, would you like to put on an Iron Fist costume and fall asleep on a chair? Why, I guess I would. Biggest mistake.
I could go for a nap and a collar.
I'm a good duplicator.
Yeah.
Might as well go for a soda.
I'm going to say, I've regretted it every time I've accepted that deal.
It was weird, because I've regretted it every time I haven't.
Hmm.
Oh, my neck is so unprotected.
Iron Fist came back in the Namor series with John Byrne, because John Byrne was so mad that they killed him and they killed Iron Fist in that series in that way. I've read interviews with him. He was like, it was so stupid and it was so dumb that, like, it didn't make any sense.
And you agree, I would say.
And I agree.
Mm. Yeah. Sometimes undoing something stupid is just the right call.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yep.
Sweet Christmas.
What the f***?
All right. So we're fixing Lex.
Lex Luthor.
Lex Luthor. And probably the reason why it got brought up was Mark Waid and Brian Hitch are doing a new series or a limited series or whatever called The Last Days of Lex Luthor for DC Black Label, where apparently Lex Luthor has some sort of illness that's going to kill him or something like that, and he's asked Superman to save him in some way.
Right.
So there's that.
Superman baptizes Lex Luthor. The only one who can truly save you is Christ.
I want a cover of that, but it's like an old Silver Age, fake Silver Age cover of that would be incredible. Just imagine it together.
Yes.
Yeah, so it's a black label, so I don't know if that's like in whatever canon is or who cares.
I don't think any of those are in continuity or anything, so.
Sounds like a good read, though.
Yeah, no, for sure. Mark Waid is, he's kind of on a roll. He's, like, taking over everything DC lately. They're spinning off The World's Finest. I don't know, like, Lex hasn't factored in too much in that, but he has factored in a lot in recent stories, and it kind of, like, everyone forgot Clark is Superman.
Yes.
And he did that in a very bad way. But he still remembers, except he's in jail, and he's sort of goading him on. He's found a way to communicate with him on, like, you know, on that level so he can hear him. So you can just sort of beam in, you know what I mean? On a frequency that only Superman can hear, and he's always just like, hey, what are you doing? Why are you, like, don't worry about saving those people. This is the bigger problem. So he's sort of like an unwanted coach.
What a dick.
Yeah, so that's what's up right now in the comics,
That's pretty great.
It is pretty fun, actually. But, you know, Superman is still Superman, right? So he's just sort of like...
Yeah.
He's putting up with it.
Right.
You diseased maniac.
So, Luthor's had, like, a number of different incarnations.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
There's, like, the original mad scientist, like, just the dude with some ray guns and a lab coat,
I'm in a blimp city, and I have a full head of hair. It's not a wig.
Yeah. Exactly.
Or maybe it is a wig. Maybe I'm like Jason Alexander, and sometimes I wear a wig and sometimes I don't. And who the fuck are you to tell me not to?
He's right.
Jason Alexander. then there's the super mad scientist, where it's when he gets like the purple and green with the leotard kind of thing.
Power suit goes a little more. Time.
Yeah. Well, then it amps up in the 80s. You get that super mad scientist 80s one where it's the purple and green armored power suit thing. Yeah.
Let me get a thing so I can't see what's to the left or to the right of me.
Yeah, exactly. But it's got great speakers.
Top of my head, though, unprotected.
Yeah.
Lex Luthor invented Bluetooth.
He owns Bose.
Because he drank a bunch of blue Kool-Aid and he looked in the mirror and he went, wait a second, Bluetooth. Blue teeth, eh?
That would be a great company.
That's how the genius intellect works, is the thing. Inspiration comes.
It's very complicated. Of course, none of us could understand.
You won't understand. Yeah. Then there's the, like, the 90s business... Greed is good, kind of Lex. The suit, the corporation.
Mm-hmm.
Starting with the John Byrne, Man of Steel and the whole post-crisis, and then into the animated and, you know.
Yeah.
Which is never really fully, like, they've dipped back a bit in different ways, but that part kind of never really goes away permanently. That's pretty...
Yeah.
No, I think that's ingrained now. Like, he's gone fully from Mad Scientist, which was, like, just, like, that very cliche...
Yeah, he's got corporate.
Kind of thing. Yeah, and full corporate. So, and until you get like President Lex.
Yeah.
Full on that.
The ultimate
sort of
corporation.
President. Do you know how much power I'd have to give up to be president?
Do you guys have a favorite?
And there's more than that, frankly. He's had periods of, like, legitimately trying to work towards redemption in his way, and of course it never takes, go figure. I mean, you got, even in the movies alone, like, how many of those were, like, Gene Hackman with a weird land scheme? Like, he's just a weird con man.
Three of them? At least two of them.
Oh, at least two. Sometimes he's Kevin Spacey, which is a big bummer in hindsight.
Mm-hmm.
Well, and that was another land one as well, so...
Sometimes he's Ducky from Pretty in Pink. I mean, like, he could be anyone. It's incredible.
Sometimes he's his own nephew.
Oh, no.
My favorite for, like, the show is not the comic, is Clancy Brown.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Big time.
He's got the best voice for it, and I like that incarnation. The Justice League Unlimited, especially, like, that version. Yeah.
I like seeing him go, you know, you see him, like, sort of do the reverse thing where he goes from being, like, the legitimate businessman, and then he's just, like, a fugitive mad scientist on the run.
And then half a brainiac, and...
Yeah. They covered all the bases. That was
quite
messed up. I love
that episode.
It's incredible. It's one of the best.
I actually just started rewatching Justice League Unlimited, and I think it's called The Return. It's, I think it's Silva's android or whatever.
Oh, Amazo?
It's Amazo. Yeah, that's right.
Okay.
Yeah, it's Amazo.
And he was tricked by Lex and then whatever, and then he went off into the stars and basically became omnipotent.
Yeah.
And then he comes back.
Right.
Trying to track. That's the best episode. So good.
I think my favorite, and I was watching clips in preparation for this. I imagine I'm not the only one.
yep.
But there's the All-Star Superman version of Lex, and there's the animated version of that. He's voiced by Anthony LaPaglia, who, I don't know, you'd know him from, like, Without a Trace, maybe, or he was in Empire Records. He's got a knowable face, but he does...
Oh, he's in So I Married an Axe Murderer.
I think you're right.
He was Mike Myers' best friend, yeah.
Okay. It's been a long time.
Yep.
I'll get there. Golden Age of movies, too. The golden age of so many things. Yeah, it's a golden age of books. I'll read it later.
Yeah.
Catcher in the Rye? Yeah, whatever. Golden age of books.
Yeah. The Bible? I'll get there.
How to What a Mockingbird? I can't be helped.
Wait for the movie.
But he's got, like, this monologue near the end where, like, he gets Superman's powers and he starts to see the universe how Superman sees it, and then his powers run out and he's like, if I had more time, I could have fixed everybody. And Superman's like, if it mattered to you, you could have fixed everybody years ago. He's like, oh, you're right. Shit.
Wah, wah, wah.
I think Superman even, like, just decks him for good measure at that point.
Yeah. He's got more of the super serum, and Superman's like, oh, this stuff? And he heat visions it. And it's like, why you gotta do that? Because, dicks get dicked.
Anyway, time to fly into the sun, bitch.
Yeah, yeah. I gotta fix it, because it's got a bunch of cogs in here. It's like somebody's phone.
Mwah. Wonderful.
Well, one of the things that I watched in preparation for this was sort of saying how, like, you know, Lex was sort of, he embodied the fear of the nuclear age, and then with the rewrite by Byrne, he was sort of like this, you know, Trump-esque figure, like the greed is good, Gordon Gekko sort of stuff. And it's like, there's the fear of the late 80s, early 90s. What would that look like now? Oh, well, now, and then now he's, you know, if you look at the Jesse Eisenberg version, he was Mark Zuckerberg. He was just Mark Zuckerberg.
Ahoy, ahoy. Ow, wow.
But I think that's kind of a lazy way to go about making Lex Luthor, frankly.
Well, I think that's a lot of the villains always reflect. Like, it's like the idea of zombies. The zombies always come up at certain times depending on how society is kind of reflecting on things and economically how the world is doing and not. And get these, like, whether you have vampires or this, or like the different kinds of villains or horror, like it all ebbs and flows depending on what's going on.
I do like that, like, what a fear, like, what is something that people are kind of afraid of in that moment in time. And right now, you know, it seems like people are really, there's a big housing crisis, so Lex Luthor is just a landlord now.
Oh, perfect.
Yeah.
Back to basics.
He runs one of those, like, subdivision housing authorities. Yeah.
Yeah, he just buys it all up. He owns the whole... It's a land scheme again. Gene Hackman was right.
Yeah, exactly.
Anyway, back to the episode.
Jimmy, you're not allowed to have a bench on that part of your property. We're going to have to remove that. Otherwise, it'll be $1,000 fine.
He runs, like, the board of a condo?
Yeah. Well, they have, especially in America...
The Homeowners Association.
You have the Homeowners Associations actually run a whole subdivision. I just watched, last week tonight, had a whole episode on that, yeah.
Yeah.
People who don't have jobs already and have time for this sort of shit.
Hey, listen, it's that wonderful freedom they got, you know? Anyway.
Uh-huh. Okay, I think before we get any further down the rabbit hole, we should jump into our pitches.
Yeah.
Yep.
I don't care about the past. I believe in the power to reinvent yourself.
I'm going to start, if that's okay, with a really quick little gag. Because we mentioned Landlord, and one of mine was like a weird Three's Company version where he literally is the landlord. You got Clark, Lois, and Jimmy.
He's Mr. Farley.
Yeah, exactly. He's the crooked landlord. He's always getting up in their business, but, you know, he's still charming about it, you know. So they're... Clark, Lois, and Jimmy. Well, that's their cute name together, but this is more 70s, so we won't
Clois,
get there yet.
But also Jimmy.
Yeah. That's the name of the show. So they're renting a 3-bedroom apartment. Lex is the snooping landlord, so Clark is constantly having to, like, hide his secret identity from everyone, absolutely everyone, but especially that Lex. And over time, you know, him and Lois will start dating as the seasons go on, and she'll be in on the gag, but that sort of changes things a little bit. Preferably, I'm envisioning just the entire 1978 movie cast doing this show. So that's kind of it. He's a snooping landlord. He's always getting in everybody's business. You know, he's fighting Superman as well in a power suit, but you never see that because they have a pretty small budget here.
Yes. You'll see, like, one arm of it sort of thing.
Yeah, exactly.
It's just in the closet, yeah.
And the Otis can be the super in the building, so he could be around. I mean, maybe Lex isn't around. He's the landlord, I'm sure, of half of Metropolis because he's Lex Luthor.
But those are his favorite tenants.
Hackman needs work, so maybe that'll happen.
Isn't he retired? Oh, I feel like he's retired.
I think he retired.
So. I think he'd come out of retirement for this.
Yeah, you know, you can only hope.
Can we get the bones of Christopher Reeve? We can get the bones. Oh, we can get the bones.
They'll just CGI him the whole time. It's going to be very upsetting.
Yep. I like it. May I?
Yep.
Okay. So a couple weeks ago, we were talking about Lex Luthor a little bit. I think we were comparing him to Dr. Doom, maybe. And we were saying, like, the difference is that Doom has magic as well. And Lex Luthor would never learn magic because it would be, you know, he would have to, you know, learn from somebody else and admit that he doesn't know everything and isn't the best at everything all the time.
Yeah.
And that would kind of make, like, he would actually be a, you know, a match for Superman if he could just get some magical abilities.
Yep.
So my thinking was, Lex is like, fuck it, I will get some magic. And so he
orders it online.
Who has magic? Who has something that, you know, maybe a resource that they want from me that I can make a deal with them? And he lands on Aquaman because Aquaman is like Aquaman knows magic people. He's, you know, he's got this kingdom that is constantly getting screwed over by the surface world. And maybe he blackmails Aquaman, or maybe he, like, you know, has, you know, get some sort of mutually beneficial partnership with him.
Yep.
I assumed you were going to just going to give Dr. Fate some coke.
Oh, I mean, you could do that too. It's
but anyway, Brosnan, no, right? This seems more interesting.
He just sneaks in and changes the helmet of Naboo for, like, just a trash can.
Yeah.
Puts it on. This doesn't feel right.
No, it's fine.
Who's I'm talking? Remington Steele.
Anyway. Cheap little Bluetooth speaker, and he's just like... Anyway.
It's fine.
I'm not Lex Luthor.
But to add to that, Aquaman is, you know, he's in some ways on par with Superman, but he's also an Earthborn human, so Lex Luthor doesn't really, you know, hate him quite as much. So they get along a little better. They're two big boisterous bastards. They're a couple of
and they fall in love.
Yeah.
They fall in love.
He works out some sort of deal with Aquaman into letting him study with, like, Atlantean sorcerers, precisely.
Mm-hmm.
Merc made the give him $5 sign.
Yeah, that was the kids. Sign.
That's what it was.
Yeah.
Well done, new chum. Be sure to drop by the next time you're in Atlantis.
So during the course of Lex learning from, like, Atlantean sorcerers sort of thing, Aquaman and all of Atlantis's, like, other major superhero people are called away on some big dumb crossover. And Lex at this point is, like, he's learned stuff and he is actually, you know, he's getting fairly powerful. But in order to continue learning all this magic stuff, he has to make sure that Atlantis stays safe, because it isn't just, like, the books of knowledge. It's also the people, and, like, maybe some of the magic is passed down, like, orally, so it's not written.
He would know if anyone would know. Sorry.
These seamen.
That was outrageous.
So Lex has to defend Atlantis, but a lot of the citizens don't trust him because he's Lex Luthor. And he's from the surface world. He's an outsider. And Lex is, like, he's kind of being altruistic, but it's really just so he can get what he wants. But he gets to know the Atlanteans, and he's like, look, I'm not from here. I'm from the surface. Yes, there's stuff that I want from you, but, like, and that's why I'm doing it. But the important thing is that I'm doing this. I'm protecting you people. I'm choosing to do that. I'm going out of my way to protect you people. I don't have to. I'm, like, this is what I want to do, and maybe learn from my example. Maybe learn that, hey, you can protect other people and be altruistic, and you can do it even though you're not from the place. And then his nose starts to bleed a little bit because he realizes what he's saying is exactly what Superman would say.
I was like, oh my goodness.
Yeah. And so, he kills himself.
By the end, you know, he's protected Atlantis, and he's met people, and like maybe he met like a cute kid who has like a cute nickname for him and is cute, or like a fish reporter lady or something. But like, you know, Aquaman comes back. Lady. Yeah, it's a fish reporter reporting on the fish.
Yeah.
Fish Watch News. by the end of it, he goes back to Metropolis having changed and like learned some stuff, and he's, you know, he does zap Superman with a lightning bolt just to make it clear that if he really wanted to, he could take him out, but he doesn't really feel like it. He's got other priorities.
He just
now
magically gives Superman gonorrhea.
Just
a short term.
Could you direct a hand gesture again to imply how Lex Luthor would give Superman gonorrhea?
Giving $5.
Oh, he gave him $5. And there's gonorrhea on that $5.
And there's gonorrhea on the $5.
I got gonorrhea from a tractor.
I think we should just end the episode right with that.
I'm watching a lot of Seinfeld. It's like golden age of television, I tell you guys.
Golden age television.
All right, that's it for me. You've been great. Good night, everybody.
I didn't have like a big developed one. I just had a couple of little pitches, and I kind of landed on one that I like more. But I liked, and one of them was actually Magic Lex. I was like, if he could devote his big brain towards that sort of thing, even if it's knowing him, like you said, wouldn't want to learn from somebody, but just taking somebody out, taking a little bit of magic, then you get a little bit more and a little bit more and just start building it, and he would just be a big...
Oh, he'd definitely do it that way.
Big, greedy Martin Sheen on magic.
He's going to frack the magic out of these humans.
Yeah. I thought about a horror Lex, like a series that's almost like Cronenberg Lex body horror. And there's mutations and experiments. Like he's been experimenting.
Could you have Michael Rooker
to play him? Oh, yes,
yeah. Just think of the end of Slither. It's,
Yeah. You know, he's also just snacking on chocolate pretzels the whole time. You could just combine all the worlds together.
I was going to say, he gets taken down at the end by Jason Lee and a chocolate pretzel.
Yeah.
Gross. Cyborg Lex, his AI like goes out of control, and
I literally have the same idea. I have the same thing as you. So we're taking one off the board. That's fine.
Do it.
Continue. Yep. Great. But yeah, like he's trying to like enhance himself through science because he doesn't like these people with their like superpowers, but humans can do this, so he's going to turn himself into something, and maybe you have fun with that.
The one that I kind of ended on that was I liked more was Explorer Lex. Whether it's like taking him out of the environment and he goes elsewhere. Like he's just, I'm sick of Earth.
That's the thing. Like Lex Luthor could actually do anything. He could do anything. Yeah. But he's fixated on Superman. If it weren't for Superman, he could actually do this stuff. But he's so obsessed with the guy that it stops him from doing anything else.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I had the idea of either he like leaves of his own accord and goes into space or other dimensions or whatever and finds a little peace, but then he finds some peace, and then space madness or something. You can take it that way. Or yeah, I thought something happens where he's just instantaneously transported from Earth to somewhere, whether it's another dimension or another planet or something, and he's just left with him and his smarts. And he just has to use his own brain. He doesn't have his facilities and other stuff. He might have a little bit of tech or something on him, but really not much. So now it's like starting from scratch, and he has to use that big brain of his to save himself. And then it becomes an adventure.
He's got his smarts, and no one else is around, so he's also got his farts. Anytime he feels like it.
Smarts and farts.
Yeah.
The new adventures of Lex Luthor.
Yeah. I was thinking by 2 months in, he would have monkey butlers, but smarts and farts is better.
Well, they don't judge. They're monkeys, you know? They won't care
at
all.
That's true. That's an excellent point.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But I think it would be an interesting adventure of just him, like, in space.
Yeah.
Then he builds something and actually gets off the... explores the planet, but then builds something, gets off planet, then has to find out where he is in relation to the rest of the universe.
Like, there's that ongoing book right now, Superman Lost, where like he's ditched way out in the middle of nowhere, somewhere else in the universe, and has no idea where he is and is trying to get home. It's a 10-issue series. Just the first couple have come out. But basically do that with Lex.
Yeah.
It's like, you don't even know where you are.
Mm-hmm.
You don't know any of these stars.
You can't just fly off the planet and just go.
You're just
dude. You have to figure out how to do this. Dude. A gassy, farty dude surrounded by monkeys. And,
And one martini.
And one martini.
In a square glass, like an animal.
That's a lot of good stuff there.
Oh.
Yeah.
Can I pitch something? Or not pitch something. Can I promote something just before we go?
Absolutely.
Because I think we're almost at that point where we're going to get going. But before we do, in preparation for this, I read a chapter specifically about Lex Luthor of a book called Superman and Philosophy. What would the Man of Steel do? Mm. It's an interesting book. The chapter that I read focused on Lex Luthor as an existentialist and what that means about him. And I learned some stuff, and it was like, oh yeah, philosophy is fun. And I want to read the rest of this book. So if you like books and you like Superman and you like philosophy and you like me and I like you, Superman and Philosophy, What Would the Man of Steel Do?
All right.
.com. No .com. It's just, you know, I found it on the internet.
So .org.
I'm assuming it's for purchase somewhere.
Yeah, totally. Well? Yeah, you could.
Yeah. Do that. Mm-hmm. I'm going to promote somebody's book. Go steal it on the internet.
No, go to your local library and request it.
That too. That too.
Yeah, look, it's a philosophy book. They're not making any money.
Mm. True.
That sounds interesting. Yeah, I didn't really have much else aside from just probably a dumb idea where he actually succeeds. He actually gets Superman out of the picture. I first had it like he kills him, but where's the fun in that? Maybe he just traps him somewhere where he can't come to Earth and just wants to prove it right, that he actually can do it better than Superman ever did. And then you just have just a series of endless, absolute failures to the point where he's captured Barry Allen and has him trapped and basically makes him do a flashpoint every now and then if he messed up too bad.
Hmm.
Makes him just do a flash dance.
Yeah, just go back. Just go back and like, okay, I messed that up. I'll do this one. And, you know, once he succeeds, he wants to bring Superman back to gloat. But of course, he's going to have to grovel. It's going to be the only way he can solve this problem.
Flashpoint Lex, or as you could call it, Flex.
Oh! Ooh. I like that.
Nice flex.
Nice flex.
Weird flex.
Weird flex.
But okay.
Well.
Thanks for joining us.
I hope that we've pleased Mr. Luthor.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not above it.
I just got a text. I'm fired, but I work at a nonprofit. I don't understand.
Yeah. But I'm unemployed. What?
I think to just add LexCorp presents to the top of the sign. No one even agreed to it. It just happened.
He bought the bank that owns the nonprofit. All right. Should we say who we are?
Yes.
Yes.
Okay. Who would like to go first?
I'll go first.
Do it.
My name is Merc. You can find me at mercasylum.ca, MERKASYLUM.ca. Merc on Facebook, Merconaut, like astronaut, on Instagram.
Cool. I'm Bri Kotick. You can find my comic at welcometohereafter.com. You can also find me on Instagram and Tumblr, indeed, at BRYKOTYK.
And I'm Kyle Lees. You can find me, you know what, best way? Just on Instagram, at the Kyle Lees. There's links to, you know, my first book. You can read it for free. There's links to my store. There's some fun pictures and stuff. Yeah, just do that. Who needs a website? Not me. I don't miss having a website at all.
Oh, by the way, second best way to find Kyle Lees is just sort of go outside and yell Kyle. He might come by. He might be there. You don't know.
I mean, you're not going to know until you try.
It's like yelling Ricola.
Yeah.
Ricola and Kyle.
Kyle Lees. All right, that's enough of that.
No, more Kyle Lees.
I'm sorry.
No,
Kyle.
I don't like it. Stop, guys.
Ocean City Defender! Thanks to him, too.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yes, check out his stuff. All right.
For the music.
Do that.
Do it.
For the music.
Do it. Zero Issues!
Kyle Lees!